everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined this afternoon by Paddy Davitt and EDP columnist Ian Clark for the first time this season, is it? Possibly, Clark?
Debut.
Debut for the season. You are now officially a Premier League podcaster. How does that feel?
Happy days.
Yeah, he's a happy man. We are, of course, going to be reflecting on Norwich City's 1-0 defeat at the home of the Premier League champions, or defending Premier League champions, albeit with the various issues they've had this season. But Norwich went down to that defeat, their fifth in six games, which doesn't sound great, Pad, but are we a little bit more positive than that sounds, or is this quite a testing time at the moment?
Both, I think. Yeah, it obviously is very testing at the minute, but I think you have to remember they've gone to Chelsea, they've gone to Man City, they've got Arsenal this weekend, so, you know, realistically, and Alec Neil made the point after the game, as much as you go and play these sides and you go to win or you go to get points, the reality is, and we saw it again with our own eyes at Stamford Bridge, the gulf is massive, and unless those teams aren't quite at it, it's very difficult for a club like Norwich, and that's not being defeatist, but that's the reality of the situation. So I think you have to look at who they're playing at the minute, but yeah, I mean, the underlying reality of it is I think it's one win in seven in the league, so that's a trend that needs to end fairly abruptly, because you don't want to go into Christmas period and you're kind of below the cut line, because then it becomes psychological as much as anything else. So yeah, I'm not overly concerned, but by the same token, you need to see a few positive results, I think.
Yeah, I think you have to see it over the bigger picture, definitely. The interesting with Chelsea, you watched that game, you knew there were issues. The last 5 minutes was so nervous, it was ridiculous. It didn't need to be. And even though they weren't firing, they've got so much quality, and they're still so good to watch. Eden Hazard, one of the best players in the league, and he was back on it.
He was tremendous, wasn't he? Probably, I mean, I haven't seen every game this year, but it was as good a performance as I've seen from anybody against Norwich this year. But yeah, I mean, we still could have got it, nicked it at the end. I mean, the shot by Brady, obviously earlier on, Bessong's chance, great block by JT.
Well, we're not allowed to call him JT here, Clark. You have to call him John Terry.
John Terry.
No.
Apologies for that.
Joking.
But yeah, and most Norwich fans I watched it with, in an unnamed pub, were live from Lithuania. Were not happy, because you're never happy when you lose, but were almost, you know what, it could be worse, and we're not getting stuffed away from home as we have been in previous years. It's almost, they're not the games that matter, it's when we play Watford, Villa's coming up not too far away, and that mini league. I've started my column for this week, and I've got a mini league of seven now, and that's what really matters, those games.
It's interesting. I mean, I still think it's quite a select group, I know it's still early, quite a select group that are in genuine danger of relegation, but I mean, that maybe is just me. I know we've talked about this before on the podcast.
I've gone for Norwich, Swansea, Villa, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Sunderland, and Watford. I think Watford will be dragged in.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anybody glaringly omitted there. I think, yeah, so I'd agree with Clarkey. Watford, for me, they've had a good run, but the manner of that defeat against United, whether it was just or not, that's got to chip away at the belief a little bit. And that's what Norwich need to do. And Alec Neil again sort of alluded to it, that if you can just string two or three positive results together over a period of, you know, a month, 6 weeks, then you're in mid-table and the world looks a brighter place. It's just, at the minute, they're not doing that. And of course, that's where the concern lies. But yeah, I wouldn't disagree with Clarkey. I think that's who they're fighting with to stay up, basically.
OK, well, let's close down, as I like to do, Saturday's game. I suppose we should start with the goal. I mean, Norwich set up quite... They sat off Chelsea, I think, predominantly over the course of the game. And they did it pretty well, as they have done recently. But then you get a quick free kick, they switch off. Norwich are 2-on-2. Fabregas plays the quick free kick over the top. Thiago Costa turns Ryan Bennett and finishes very well. What's the biggest issue with that goal for you, Pad?
Well, I wouldn't say there was one element above any other. It was a collective lack of responsibility, wasn't it, really? You know, very naive to, A, stop the free kick from being taken, even if you're going to risk taking a booking, and then, two or three defenders basically not switched on. Ryan Bennett, he shouldn't be allowing Costa to come back in on his right. So for me, and that's another mistake I'd put lay at his door, harsh or not. But Man City, the first goal they scored as well, he lost his man. And I think we're seeing what I feared is that, you know, he isn't the dominant centre-half they need. They're crying out for a dominant centre-half to play alongside Bassong. And if they don't get it, then they're going to more often than not concede chances. And it just takes a one, and that's all it needed, and that was the game gone. And that's the reality of it at this level.
Yeah, I completely agree with Ryan, because it just seemed to give Costa far too much space. Also, just, I know they took the free kick quickly and Norwich kind of switched off, but also Seb almost kind of gave them the ball back rather than just kicking it away. But
I felt for Bennett, because I thought a lot of what he did well.
Yeah.
But at this, you know, and it's a cliche, but at this level, 1 split second, 1 second, 1.5 second, you know, going to sleep, and you will get punished, because you knew that as soon as Costa got that ball and he cut inside, there it was. You know, he had that little gap between Ruddy's hand and the post, and there it was.
Yeah, which was more composure than he showed for the previous, well, month, I suppose, because he had.
And even earlier in the game, you know, we blazed one over, didn't he? But you know that he'll take a chance.
Ruddy did make a very good save from him in the first half, and I thought John looked a lot more commanding than. I know he's obviously had a sticky patch in terms of form, but he just seemed to be back on it to me.
Well, I mean, he needed to, because, you know, he has been culpable, and we don't need to go back down the list of games, but, you know, questions were asked, and you would hope any professional worth his salt would want him almost, well, I'll show you. And, you know, I didn't have any doubts. You know, I know there was plenty who wanted him out the side and Declan Rudd in, but not for me. I think he's your number one, and it's nice to see him proving that.
Have we got a slight issue here in terms of, and I know it's the games that Norwich are playing in now, but they are setting up more cautiously, and a company to that on Saturday at least, they seem to struggle with how they could use the ball going forward. Is that a problem with the fact that they are so deep, or was it their actual not use of the ball?
The big frustration, the big disappointment for me was we just couldn't keep hold of the ball. You know, we've got players that are able to hold the ball and find a short pass and somebody come in and pick it up, just to take the heat out of the game and mean that you're not just giving it back and you're always under pressure. And that was the big problem for me, while we had to soak so much up, is we just couldn't do simple things. Just play little triangles, even if you just play it back and then someone picks it up and then gets a little bit of space, just to get a bit of possession.
Well, they had some decent moments in the first half, didn't they? To me, it seemed that they got a little bit more isolated, some of Norwich's more forward players, in the second half, but also Chelsea pressed them quicker and higher, didn't they, in the second half, which didn't really help.
To be honest, I thought from about minute 20 that happened. I think the second half of the first half, it was basically the pattern was set. I didn't think Malumbu and O'Neill were quite really dominant enough. Matic and Fabregas won that little duel hands down, and because they were pressing, turning the ball over, then that allows your Hazards, Williams, Pedros in the final third of Norwich to do their stuff, and it was literally a sense of inevitability. I felt that even though it was a self-inflicted goal that settled it, but you just knew at some point they would carve them open. And agree entirely with Clarkie, you know, you can go and set up that way and look to frustrate as they did at Man City, but the difference between those two away days was at Man City they did break out and they did carry a threat going the other way right throughout the game. Chelsea, after, like I say, the first 15 or 20 minutes, that was it really. Brady's sort of swinging shot aside in the second half, and that's not good enough against a team with excellent midfield players who, if you give them the ball, they will create something.
Spot on. Okay, well, I tell you what, let's hear from Alec Neil and Gary O'Neill first.
You know, certainly towards the end, we tried to sort of put bodies forward, we tried to play a bit higher up the pitch. But by that stage, the guys have got 70 minutes of hard work in their legs, you know, so introduce three fresh legs to try and give us a sort of little bit of impetus. And we sort of huffed and puffed a bit without having any real sort of clear-cut chances. When you've got such a good game plan, and to be fair, the boys, I thought they carried it out magnificently well. You know, I couldn't have asked them to work any harder than what they did today. I thought they were great. But it's just the sort of minor details, and then we've been sort of discussing about maybe getting in front of the free kick and stop it, or sensing that he's going to run in behind and drop off a bit earlier. And if we did that, we could have went away with something out of the game, but unfortunately we didn't.
Yeah, it was tough. It was always going to be, regardless of where they are in the league, they're a top team. They've got top players, and it was going to be a tough ask. We came and we had a right go. leaving disappointed with a sort of manner of the goal, and we could have perhaps caused them a few more problems if we'd have been slightly better on the ball than we were today. But apart from that, we had a really good go. Defensive shape was good, carried out the game plan, but we switch off from a quick free kick, and it's disappointing at this level to get punished for something like that is disappointing. Obviously the free kick was given, and then you have a chance, then someone can either stand on the ball and stop them taking it quick, or someone should switch on and stop the ball over the top first and foremost. So when you look back at goals, there's always three or four opportunities you have to stop them. So we're disappointed that we didn't manage to put out the fire before they score, so to speak.
You look at the three sort of bigger teams we played away from home, you know, Man City 2-1, arguably we could have done more and got a point, and today against Chelsea 1-0, arguably we could have sort of did a bit more and got a point, and we drew with Liverpool as well. So I think we've gave a good account ourselves against the bigger clubs away from home, but we need to turn sort of the type of performances into points more, and we'll be looking to do that certainly next week.
And then, he said, carrying on, we'll reflect on the penalty incident with Robbie Brady. Was it a penalty? And if so, should Chelsea have had penalties? Was it really that influential on the game?
I thought if he was going to give one penalty, he needed to give two, and he didn't give either, and I wouldn't particularly complain. I normally yell at the ref, we should have had a penalty. And I thought he probably would have given both.
Are you talking about the one where Costa went down under Sepp?
Yeah. I mean, I thought Brady's was more of a penalty, but I didn't particularly disagree with either.
How did you see it, Pat?
Well, I just draw a parallel with the Brady one and what Vardy did down here at Carr Road when he got goal side of Bassong that day. Went to ground, felt a touch, went to ground. Clattenburg was in no hesitation. You know, the whistle was in his mouth before he'd hit the deck. So if that's a penalty, then why isn't Robbie Brady's a penalty? Because he's got goal side of Willie. And why is he going? You have to ask yourself, why is he? He's goal side of him. Why is he going down when he can have a shot? It doesn't make any sense to me. So that, to me, was a clear penalty.
Away from home as well, you see, at Carrow Road, the one Leicester got. But it's a bit different for Norwich at Chelsea, maybe.
When I played regularly as a centre-half, a penalty to me was somebody who went 6 foot in the air and came down with one leg.
The game's changed.
Penalty.
Game's changed. I did really like what Alan Neil said after the game about maybe Jose should try being the manager and the decisions that Norwich kept.
And actually, one positive was I thought Neil handled him, from what I could see, handled himself well and actually learned a lot in the way to almost mix it in the dugout area.
We're quite close to the touchline, aren't we? It's quite fun watching when it's all going off in front of us.
Yeah, it is. What do you want me to add?
No, that'll do. That's fine, as long as you enjoyed it. Chelsea, the table never lies, someone said probably once, but maybe it does 12, 13 games in. They're not as bad as the table says, are they?
Oh, no. Without a shadow of a doubt. If they had, it's not the same type of style of play, but if you stuck Jamie Vardy at the point of that attack, they would have been considerably higher in the table. I think that was Costa's first goal in 600 minutes of competitive action. By all accounts, you know, Hazard's been on it now for the last two or three weeks, and if he's ticking, then Chelsea tick. So really, for me, it's just some team is going to get absolutely blasted by them very shortly, and that'll be it then. And there'll be a lot of what were anybody worried about with Chelsea, because they're an excellent side.
Maybe it'll be Leicester, because I think they've got to play pretty much the entire top five or six coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that will be interesting.
I mean, Chelsea are going to be top five at worst, aren't they?
Oof. Yeah, top five at worst.
Yeah. I still think they'd be top four.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I think they might get to sort of sixth. I think it might get... You don't know?
Top four all day long.
I just wonder about Liverpool and Spurs. But, well,
there's still 25 games to go, aren't there?
There are indeed. There's enough points, definitely. Well, we will see. We'll get a good touch. I have to remember my indignation at this point. Yeah, and you can shout at me later in the season. Okay, well, we should look ahead to Arsenal. It's coming up on Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon kickoff at Carrow Road. It's a slightly different dynamic, this, isn't it, Pad? Because it's a big boy at home, whereas, you know, so far they've all been away from home. So, as Clarkey touched on earlier, I think it's going to be quite interesting how Alec Neil goes about this one.
Yeah, and worth pointing out, they've lost the boy Coquelin for 2 months. That's been confirmed today. He's a big miss. He's not the glamour player like a Sanchez or a Ozil or a Cazorla, but he seemed to be quite key to, you know, how they're going about things. So that's got to be a blow. They're also in the Champions League midweek. Who knows what sort of toll that will take. I quite like the prospect of taking Arsenal on at home, because you know, and it was proved yet again at West Brom, if you can get in amongst them, play at a high tempo, ruffle a few feathers, you know, none of it's very pretty, but they don't really like it, and that's the reality of it, and it's been proven time and time again. So I don't want to see the passive reactive kind of Norwich of the last two or three games. I actually want to see Neil go with his warriors and really basically rumble and kick a few in the air if need be, because let's be honest, that you take them on passing wise, there's only going to be one winner, so don't give them a ball and say try and break us down, because we'll be sat here again next week talking about one win in nine. So get about them and see if they like it.
They don't like it, up them.
I didn't want to say it, but you said it.
But would you want them to? So you wouldn't want them to sit off them, no. And I suppose you don't want them to sit relatively deep either.
I want them to press and basically kill themselves, bury themselves physically. You know, a Malumbu, Tete, all of those lads. I want them in the side. I want them front foot in their faces, pressing from the front.
Get Paddy in the dressing room before kickoff.
I entirely agree. And tempo to me is the word. Not to let them dictate the pace, but to press and to get stuck in.
Do you think Alec Neil will be conscious of how Swansea win about? Oh no, I suppose. I mean, Arsenal beat Swansea, didn't they? So that didn't work. How Swansea tried to play against Arsenal, did it?
No, I think from what you said that
because Arsenal sat off them, didn't they?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So.
No.
Don't sit off them. I mean, reality is that they will create chances, and Norwich will, again, as I said right at the start, Norwich will have to hope they're not quite on the top of their game individually, collectively. But I just think of all the sides up near the top of the table, you always feel there's a chink in our Arsenal's armour for me. You know, Chelsea, when they're going really well, miserly at the back, you don't get anything from them cheaply. But with Arsenal, you just know maybe a set piece or something like that that they can be ruffled. So of course, this is all prior to the event when Norwich have been beaten. We'll have to reflect on how that didn't work, but I just think it's pretty straightforward this weekend. You can't engage them at the game they want to play. You've got to play a different game.
And I'm sure Carrow Road will be properly up for it. Hopefully we'll have a proper good on
it. West Brom did it, didn't they, at the weekend? They got stuck into them and did the business.
Indeed, it can be done. I mean, Norwich have done it to Arsenal in recent history too, so we shall see. Okay, is there anything else we need to bring up? The under-21s are in action tonight, but that will have happened. I mean, it's interesting, I suppose. You've got Carl Lafferty, Graham Doran, Stephen Whittaker and Declan Rudd all in action, so there we go. I expect they'll be starting.
Doran's tash will be coming on even more than it was at the weekend.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I'm not a big fan of his beard. Good to see him using public transport, though. Paddy, on Saturday, has he got the tube home?
Bit of Christian Gross with the old ticket as he was queuing at the ticket machine at Fulham Broadway.
No one acknowledged he was there. Premier League footballer in the tube station.
In his tracksuit. In his Norwich tracksuit.
Just one autograph. I'm sure he'd have appreciated it. Anyway, okay. I think we're all done then, really, aren't we? We're not going to talk about the transfer window yet, and we don't need to fill any time. So, Clarkie, thank you. Your debut, happy with that?
Very happy. And Tetti will be the man on Sunday to me.
Well, this is true, yeah. We should, yeah. Alex Tetti, will he be fit, do you think, Pat?
You didn't get the sense that, you know, it was a lengthy thing. I think it was basically just, and we've seen this with him before, haven't we? When he goes away on international, he plays a lot of games in a short, congested period. His body doesn't quite cope with the workload. So give him 10 days off. And yeah, like Clarkie says, he's a key man.
We won't talk about Nathan Redman being played down the middle for now. We'll leave that for another week. Clarkie's ruffling his nose.
No, I didn't like it.
I don't like it. Neither did Nathan, I think. Possibly. I don't want to speak on his behalf, of course. There's not really a lot we can say. I know a lot of people have asked about Russell Martin. He was missing for a family issue. We don't know what that is. We obviously hope it's nothing bad, but hopefully he'll be back involved soon and everything's okay. Right. Yeah, well done, Clarkie, on that debut. 10 points.
Excellent.
Pad, happy?
As always.
Yeah, stop, man. All right, then. Well, the usual stuff will be in the newspaper, the Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, Pinken.com, and Mustard TV over the course of the build-up towards Arsenal Thursday presser. Keep an eye out for that. Until then, thanks for listening, and goodbye.